Amen and amen and amen. Hallelujah. Hosanna. Say it with me. Hosanna.
Hosanna.
First group of people that did that, they used a Hebrew word. And the Hebrew word, Hosanna, simply means the Lord saves or the Lord save us. It was kind of a prayer and a praise kind of blended together into one word. They wanted to be delivered from Roman rule. They wanted to be delivered from Caesar's Rome. They wanted to be able to worship with freedom and practice their faith. And they wanted all of the blessings of promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to return to them. And by the time Jesus came into Jerusalem, they had heard about blind people seeing. They had heard about lame people walking. They had heard about the dead being raised. They were beginning to be convinced that he was the deliverer that God was talking about, that he might be the Jewish Messiah after all. And when he comes, they believe that he would immediately deliver them from the circumstances that they were in. And they were so glad. They thought, the Jewish zealots thought, that he was going to deliver them from Roman rule. They thought he was going to come and raise an army and overthrow Rome itself, and God would be with him to help him do this. And they were extremely excited. They were ready to draw their swords and draw blood and follow him to that kind of a political and military victory. They didn't understand his mission. His disciples didn't understand his mission. Jesus said, I must be given into the hands of men. And Peter knew how they hated him. So he said, Lord, be it far from thee. Literally, if you take what is connotated by that statement, it means, Lord, think of yourself. I'm so glad Jesus Christ did not think of himself. I love that song that said, when he was on the cross, we were on his mind. No doubt about it, Roman nails didn't hold him to that cross, and temple guards did not, and Roman soldiers didn't make him stay on it. He could have called. He told Peter, Peter drew his sword. I always use my sword for an example. Peter drew his sword, and it was a shorter sword than this, but this is all we've got, being a small church and all. Can you say amen? We make do with what we've got, but Peter drew his sword. Now that's a knife. Can you say amen? Yeah, he drew his sword, and he went to cut off the man's head. He flinched and dodged, and he just lobbed his ear off, and Jesus reached down and picked up his ear, and he's kind of irritated at Peter, you know, and he picks up the ear, and he sticks it back on his head, and he didn't use super glue. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. He just knitted back. It's one of those mighty miracles of Jesus. Amen. Plastic surgery without the plastic. Glory be to God. Amen. It was the real deal. Praise God. Amen. The blood stopped. It knitted back together. They saw that happen. And Jesus turned to Peter and said, put up your sword. My kingdom were of this world, I would call those legions of angels, thousands of angels, and destroy this world. Amen. It's a good thing that he didn't open his mouth to do that, because he wouldn't have went to the cross. He wouldn't have fulfilled his mission. There would be no salvation. For without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Jesus was determined to go to the cross, and it looked like people were taking him there. Amen. As a lamb dumb before his shearers, he opened not his mouth. He wasn't a victim of Caesar's Rome. Amen. He wasn't a victim of Pilate's political game playing, if you please, giving in to the will of the people. He wasn't a victim of the Sanhedrin's trumped up charges. Jesus wasn't a victim at all. He gave himself. No man can take my life from me. Isn't that incredible? It looked like they were doing that. But he said, no man can take my life from me. I have the power to lay it down. I've got the power to take it up again. Amen. And if you don't believe that, come next Sunday and let's talk about what happened on that third day. Praise God. But on Friday, it looked like it was all over. I love that sermon that they made a movie part of that sermon. It's Friday. Amen. On Friday, it looked like all was lost. It was only Friday, but Sunday's coming. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And Sunday came. Resurrection came. But when they cried Hosanna, and they did, and I'll read that to you. I guess I better read a few scriptures so that we can get this just a little bit clearer here today. St. Mark's Gospel, look at chapter 11. You can find this in other places, but this is kind of a synopsis and a brief thing here. And when they came nigh unto Jerusalem, unto Bethage and Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples, said unto them, go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as you be entered into it, you shall find a colt tied. This colt was the foal of a donkey, his foal of an ass, and whereupon never man sat, loose him and bring him. And if any man say unto you, why do ye this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him hither. And they went their way and found the colt tied by the door, without in a place where two ways met, and they loose him. And certain of them that stood there said unto them, why are you loosing the colt? And they said unto them, even as Jesus had commanded, and they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments upon him, and he sat and sat upon him. And many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off the trees and strewed them in the way. And they went before, and they that followed cried, saying, Hosanna! Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Praise the Lord. Hosanna! Lord, save us. Lord, help us. When they said, Lord, save us, they were looking for him to immediately, in a very short period of time, deliver them from Roman rule. When they said, Lord, help us, it's a lot like many people in church right today. We want God to help us with our finances, help us with our health, help us with our children, help us with our jobs, help us with all these things we need in the immediate sense. And our cry unto God many times is just for that kind of help. One translation of Hosanna in the Old Testament was, Lord, give us success. Put us back on top. There's a whole message out there about how to get back on top. I've never been on top, so it doesn't help me very much. I don't need to be on top. If God wants me there, he can put me there. But that's not my ambition. My ambition is to be a follower of Jesus Christ, a faithful follower of Jesus Christ. Say it with me, a faithful follower of Jesus Christ. And I'm convinced if I become a faithful follower of Jesus, he will see to everything else. I believe his will be perfected in me. I don't believe you'll ever see me begging bread. You may not see me, in a penthouse before he comes. I don't expect to be in a penthouse. I don't need to be in a penthouse. My dad's on the sixth floor of it's not elder care or anything like that. It's just apartments for people over 62. I qualify. My wife now qualifies. Amen. I could live there. The HUD will help you if you're under a certain amount of salary. We even qualify there. Hallelujah. We could move right in. Praise God. We qualify in all of those areas. I'm po enough, amen, and I'm old enough to qualify. But it's a great apartment. It's nice. It's got a great view. And everybody that lives in there, I'm getting to know all those people because I visit Dad many times a week and take him to doctor's appointments. But everybody that lives in there, it's a beautiful place. It's kept up. It's really, really nice. And he lives on the sixth floor of this building, one of the tallest buildings in Plant City. Don't have to be very tall, but it's one of the tallest there. Six stories tall. He's on the sixth floor, way down at the end of a hall, looking out at a Methodist church that was built with big columns and steps back in 1931, I think. Amen. When he was just a young fellow. But anyway, when on my way up, I'm always on the elevator with somebody, seems like. And I push a button and say, where are you going? And they'll say, fourth floor. And I say, where are you going? They'll ask me when they're pushing. I'll say, number six. They'll look at me and say, oh, the penthouse. I say, yeah, that's where my dad lives. He lives in the penthouse. Everybody on the sixth floor has finally made it to the top. Amen. moving up to the east side to my brand new apartment in the sky. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. You younger folk probably don't remember that song, but she remembers it. You're not that old, but you remember that. Fred Sanford, that's right. No. Good times, see? I'm getting forgetful. They wanted all of that. Give us our success back. Come on, bless us again. Deliver us from Caesar's Rome. We think they were real worshipers. He said the only people in that crowd that were real worshipers for the right reason. How many want to worship for the right reason? So God will accept the worship and bless us. Amen. You know what? The only real worshipers were the children. The Bible tells us that the children were crying out. And they were hollering praises unto Him. And they thought, this is too adult. They don't understand. No, they did understand in the sense that they were praising Him for who He was, not just what He could give them. There's a difference in the sincerity of children. Amen. There's a lot of insincerity in church. Come on, let's face it. There's a lot of insincerity just because people go to church. We, way back years ago, so don't try to figure this out or place a face with this. Years ago, I mean, we got a Christian guy. You and I talked about this. We got a Christian guy. We decided if somebody's going to do work for the church, let's go to the Christian Yellow Pages. Let's get a Christian guy. You get a Christian guy. He's going to do you right. You get a Christian church-going guy. He will not take advantage of you. You get a Christian church-going guy. You'll have honesty. And if he does it for a church, you've got a double assurance. So get that Christian guy. Well, we got him, and he got us. He nailed us. Anybody in any phone book would have done it better and for less than that guy. He nailed us. Wow. There's a lot of insincerity. Jesus knew, folks, Jesus knew that was false praise. It wasn't false in terms of their excitement and enthusiasm. What was false was they just wanted that immediate blessing. They didn't know what He was going to do concerning their sins and eternity. They wanted some immediate change. I'm going to tell you something about preaching right now. You want to hear a good message on heaven? Go to a funeral. Why? Because everybody's addressing the temporal. They think the grandest thing that God can do, they're just like those folks. Amen. They're following Him. They're following Him for the wrong reason. Let me just tell you something real quick. If you follow Him for the right reason, He'll take care of all these other things. The Bible said if you put the kingdom of God first in your life, all these things, your Father knows what you have need of. Amen. Everybody's got all this teaching and preaching on how to get God to meet your needs, and Jesus says you don't need all that if you'll just put Me first. That's all you need to do. Amen. He said, I want you to go out and look at the lilies of the field. They don't toil or spin, but Solomon in all of his glory was not clothed as one of these. I want you to look up at the birds in the air. Amen. They don't fret how they're going to be eaten, cared for. God's going to provide that. They don't have nervous breakdowns every day wondering how am I going to get by. Amen. If God so clothe and feed the birds of the air, will He not, look at those. Listen, will He not care for you, O ye of little faith? Listen, He said just put the kingdom first. Praise God and His righteousness. And all these things shall be what? They'll be added unto you. Isn't that incredible? All these things. You don't worry about the things. Put the kingdom first. I'm a representation of the kingdom being first. Every time I've needed a car, God provided. Every time I need clothes, God provides somehow. When I first started pastoring, I left Tampa Electric. Pretty good job. Great credit line, you know. You could go in debt real easy with that job because we all need electricity. Here's a TECO man. How many years? 38 years with Tampa Electric. I went to work for them at 21. I'm now 65. I would have had 44 years with TECO. I could have retired from TECO and Social Security. Get that Winnebago with that SUV behind it, like Terry's going to do one day. I don't think so. It don't always work out that way, does it? Amen. But anyway, amen. I could visualize all that. When I left Tampa Electric to come and pastor full time, it cost us everything. Our teeth rotted out. I mean, we couldn't go to the dentist. We didn't have it. We sold our property we had, our little piece of land in Dover. I told someone at a post office, I met at a post office in Dover, and in Sefner rather, and they said, "Are you from here?" I said, "No, I'm from Dover." They said, "Oh, have you seen the White Cliffs?" I said, "It's not that Dover. This is another Dover, can you say, man?" Had sugar sand. I saw the white sugar sand out on the acre and a quarter that we owned. We sold everything out, amen, in order to get ourselves positioned to where we could minister the gospel of Jesus Christ. And here's the question. Over the years, have you lacked anything? I've had food. I've had raiment. I remember I didn't have one suit that matched. I didn't have a suit. And I remember getting up one morning in that old parsonage behind the church, walking out on the front porch, and there was a big Publix bag. This is back when they didn't ask you paper or plastic. There was no plastic. It was all paper. Here was a big Publix grocery bag, you know, that looked like it had something in it. Anytime a bag's on, well, most of the time a bag on my porch, you know, I looked in with good expectations. And I opened it up, and there was a suit in it. And I looked at the lapel, and it was back then it was a pretty good label for my level anyway. It said Johnny Carson. It was a Johnny Carson suit, a name brand. And then I looked, and this is what really excited me. It said Irregular. And I knew right then it was going to fit me. Hallelujah, because there was something about my makeup. I had to get this size pants and that size coat and the normal things. Anyway, when I put it on, sure enough, boy, when I put that suit on, it fit me like it was tailor-made for me. And I went in and I pranced around in front of Pamela and I said, "Look what the Lord has done. He done give me a suit. Don't know who put it on my porch or where they got it, but they got it on the discount. I know that. But I know one thing. I know that Irregular fit me like it was tailor-made." Praise God. Amen. Then a few weeks later, we're coming up on and I'd mentioned what the Lord had done a year ago like that. And I went in my office at the Holy Church of God. I looked in and just hanging in there. There was an Italian suit. I still got the pants to it. The coat got a little small because of me working out all the time. No, I think it was something else. It's small through here. Amen. Amen. And I looked and there was a real nice fabric. It wasn't an Armani. It was some other Italian name, but it was a good suit, a name brand. I put it on. I don't know how people knew how to do that, but I put it on because I can't hardly find things that fit me a lot of times. But God knows my size. Hallelujah. Amen. I looked at that suit. I put it on, and it fit me to a T. I mean, it didn't need taken up nowhere. The sleeves were just right. And I said, "Lord, you're providing for me." And I never had to ask Him to give me some clothing. Amen. It just happened as the need because I put the kingdom of God first. The greatest thing that happened to me when God began to teach me about putting the kingdom first was when I was working for Tampa Electric. I was pastoring a little church in Plant City. I was about 20-something years old, 25, I guess. And I remember one day getting a call that a young man had drowned and had skipped school with his brothers, and they had went swimming in a phosphate pond, and it was extremely deep, and one of the brothers had drowned. I had to go tell the family after work and had to conduct the funeral. And right in the middle of that brother drowning situation, I had a Volkswagen little station. It wasn't a van. They didn't make them for long. But I'd made my last payment. I felt so free. Oh, I felt so good. Has anybody ever made a last payment on anything? You have? Wow. Y'all can give better than I thought you could. Praise God. Amen. But that was a long time. I made my last payment. Made my last payment on the way home from church. That engine just blew up. Pieces literally fell out from underneath it. Oil went everywhere. It made a racket and smoke started boiling. And I called a mechanic shop. They told me it'd be cheaper to buy a new or use something than it would be to fix that old one. and I didn't have any money to buy the new one, and I borrowed my stepdad's pickup truck to go try to take care of that family. I wasn't talking to God about a car. I had just given up a church and was in between, as a matter of fact, but they wanted me to take care of them, and I was glad to do it for them. But I remember I wasn't even thinking about how am I going to get to work when this is over. I wasn't thinking about anything but God's work and being a blessing to God's people. And you know, the Lord, that's how the Lord does these things. Amen. I had taken care of the funeral, and now I had to deal with the fact that I didn't have a way to work. And my stepdad needed his pickup back. He was a long-distance truck driver. When he come in, he fish. He hooked that boat up with that pickup, and he goes fishing. Amen. He got to have that truck back. You know about fishing, don't you? That's right. Amen. Listen, we didn't know how God was going to do this. I had to get back to work, Tampa Electric too, not just take care of a funeral. But God is so faithful. I'll never forget, I got a call on the phone. A man called me, and this is where you got to be real cautious, because you can't get jealous over somebody else's blessing and be blessed either. And he called me and said, he said, Robert, and I didn't go to church with him anymore. I was doing something else. He said, Robert, I want you to come with me and help me pick out a car over to Brandon. I found on a car lot. It's spectacular. I want you to come and help me pick it out. And I thought, I don't want to go and help you pick out a car. I need a car. It's not going to be fun. I mean, I don't be envious or jealous. I was reminding myself, you know, this guy's going to go buy a car. He'll probably buy a nice one. I don't have any car, and he wants me to help him pick it out. This is going to make my day. Can you say, man? And he pushed me. He said, come on, will you go with me? I really need you to go with me. I said, okay, I'll go with you. And I thought, okay, I'll give him my opinion on his car. We'll get it over with. I'll get home, and then I'll go to the Lord and say, what about me? Can you say, man? Hey, have you ever had a what about me moment when you had to deal with that? What about me, Lord? Amen. What about me? Praise God. I was going through nervous exhaustion, and somebody on television was getting words of knowledge. And I was going through the worst thing I'd ever been in my life. And I crawled over to the TV on my hands and knees and humbled myself before God. Amen. Put my hand on the television screen. Amen. Because, you know, those word of knowledge only last about 5 minutes. And I wanted to get it while it was hot off the griddle. Can you say, man, before they change and go to commercial or whatever. I had my hand on the screen. I was in serious need. And the word of knowledge came, that last one coming. I thought, this is mine. He's going to say, there's a preacher out there, you're going through this. I'm going to say, it's me, it's me, it's me, it's mine, it's mine, it's mine. And you say, man, I had my hand on that screen, and he said, there's somebody out there, you've had an ingrown toenail for about 4 weeks now. You can't hardly walk across the floor. God is healing that ingrown toenail right now. That was one of those aw shucks moments, can you say, man? I thought, Lord, you done healing somebody with an ingrown, I'll take the ingrown toenail, give them what I got. Amen. And you take care of them. I'll trade. I can deal with it. I thought my whole life was coming to an end. But the Lord took me through that deep valley. Amen. He's a faithful God. Amen. He knows exactly what he's doing. Praise God. Amen. I got over to Brandon at a car lot, and he said, there's a car I got my eye on. And we went back and looked at it. It had 3,700 miles on it. 3,700 American Motors Matador. Remember the Matador? We're going way back now. You remember the Matador? I had a Matador, collector's item now. Brand new American Motors Matador. Ah, cream color. You open the door, 3,000 miles. Milk cartons have not soured under the seat. Can you say, man? Babies haven't spit up on the fabric. Amen. Amen. Milkshakes have not been spilled and soured. It still smelled new. It was like brand new. And I told him, I said, man, you can't go wrong. This is under full warranty. This car is like brand spanking new. 3,700 miles. Come on, that's it. You need to get it. If you like this car, you need to get it. He said, well, how do you like it? I said, I love it, but you need to get it. I want him to get it. Get me back home so I could worry about my problems. Can you say, man, go ahead and get your blessing. Let me go back and get in front of that TV. He went in the office with the salesperson. After a while, he come out and said, come here, I need you to sign something. I thought, oh, Lord, I hope he don't. I thought, dear Lord, he ain't asking me to co-sign. I can't even get me a car. I can't co-sign for him. I mean, you know, we don't know what God's up to all the time. We're kind of in the dark till he tells us. And I walked in there and he said, want you to sign this title. Oh, Lord, help me. I like this guy, but Lord, have mercy. I think there's something in Proverbs that says if you've signed a note for somebody, run and catch up with them and get the paper back. So I went in and looked at it, and where he wanted me to sign was buyer. I thought, I'm not buying this thing. He done wrote the check in full. He done paid for that car. All he wanted me to do is sign the title so I could drive it home and tag it and insure it. What a blessing. I thought, I'm just little old Robert. My name isn't Oral or Billy. It's Robert. Did they get the wrong guy? No. You put his kingdom first. You don't have to go after the stuff. See, when they cried Hosanna unto him, they wanted him to just bless them with success, take away all of their problems. He came for a higher purpose. He was going to pay the sin debt for them. He was going to go to the cross for them. When they didn't get that immediate need met, their hosannas turned to crucify him. There are people today in church for one reason, because someone promised them just riches and wealth and fortune and fame. And they're crying, Hosanna, Lord, help me. Help me to do what? Help me to acquire everything that I want, rather than, Lord, help me in light of what you've done at the cross to surrender myself to everything you will. Everything you will. There's a devotion that comes when you come to surrender your life before the Lord. If you don't surrender your life before the Lord, let me tell you something. You're never going to be happy, because you're going to be pressuring God to give you what you want instead of letting God give you what He wills. And when His will becomes what you want, everything is going to change. Oh, wait a minute. I said when His will becomes what you want. Delight yourself in the Lord. And what happens? He will give you the desire of your heart. Why is that so ironclad in the promise? Because when you delight in Him, His will is what you really want. Thy kingdom come, my will be done? No. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Aren't you glad Jesus said, not my will, but what you will be done? Aren't you glad He did? Aren't you glad that He was that selfless for our sake? Praise God. If there was enough devotion in the Christian church, there is devotion in China. If you serve God in China, you may go to jail or worse. In China right now, the church has been driven underground. If you're not part of the government-approved church, by the way, you cannot teach this coming of Christ in China, because they feel like it will take people into a hope that goes beyond the government. It'll take them out of some of the control that the government has. You're not allowed to preach in a government-approved church the soon coming of Jesus Christ. That's why the church has went underground. But it hasn't stopped God in China. Through sacrifice and persecution, there's an estimated 20,000 people coming to Christ today in red China, atheistic Marxist China. And right now the estimate is that in that mighty church, not the one the government approves, but the church that's went underground in China, meeting in secret places, there's 50 million believers in China today. Amen. Hallelujah. That's the most incredible thing that I've ever heard. a mighty revival taking place under heavy persecution. Well, the early church was born under heavy persecution, but a mighty revival spread the gospel to the four corners of the earth. Can you say amen? In Christians that were sold out to Jesus Christ. They were not in it for the immediate stuff, or they would have never propagated the gospel around the world. But they were in it for His glory. They were in it for heaven. They were in it for something beyond this world. Can you say amen? But God said, if you get in it for the right reason, your Father is a good daddy. He knows what you have need of. If you need a suit to preach, if you'll give up Tico, and you're not called, so don't worry about it. Can you say amen to preach? God called you to fish. I understand. Amen. He called you to take care of this 10-cow woman right here. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen in this family. But I want to tell you something. I haven't lacked. God has taken care of me. I have a roof when I need it. I have a vehicle when I need it. You say, Brother Venable, it was not a Lincoln Town Car. It's okay. The Matador to me was. Listen, it wasn't just the car. It wasn't just the wheels, man. It was the fact that the God of the universe took time to consider me. Amen. Hallelujah. And bless me. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Wow, God is good. God is good. Just to know, listen, the Bible said the blessing of the Lord. The blessing. Not the stuff that He gives you, but the fact that He favors you. He answers your prayer. He plans ahead. First time I encountered God that way, we got to hurry and close and have communion. First time I encountered God that way, working for Tampa Electric, bivocational, preaching, working for Tico when I first came to the Holy Church of God 38 years ago. Oh, I had so much to do. I was on a line crew with Tampa Electric. I had church to take care of, my family, and it's just me. And I remember I would get up. There was so much, I don't know, it just stress, I guess. I wasn't hungry for breakfast. But boy, I'm telling you, about noon out in that hot sun, my strength, even as a young fella, you know, my strength was starting to wane. And I remember being out on that line crew, and I was sitting there, and I thought, Lord, I've been busy all week for You. I've visited some hospitals. I've done some things. And now I'm out here in this heat today, and Pamela said, what do you want for lunch? And I told her, I don't want any lunch. I couldn't eat any lunch. I'll eat when I get home. Didn't eat any breakfast. And there I sat. You know, I was sitting out there, and I was just sitting, leaning up. I remember I was leaning up against one of those old line trucks trying to find some shade. Everybody else was eating their lunch. And I was sitting there thinking, boy, anybody remember Hillbilly Bread? First time that brown salt, wave at me. Yeah, you old enough to remember? He old enough to remember that. Yeah, how young did he say he was to you? Did he? I don't know. You might better look in his wallet. Hillbilly Bread's from way back. Remember it? It was a soft grain-type brownish bread. It's really sweet and good. And I was thinking to myself, I've just been too busy. I should have got me something to eat. I got to make the rest of the day out here. I got to pull my weight in this hot sun. Hey, man, I was sitting out there and I thought, well, you know what I would love? How many remember Spam? You remember Spam? Yeah, you remember Spam. It was good back then. Amen. Is it? What happened? Did we find out what was in it, or what happened to Spam? I don't know. Amen. I remember thinking, boy, it was cheap. That's right. I opened that little can and cut that off. You could fry it. You could put it on sandwiches. I thought I would love. If I could have the lunch that I would like to have right now, not just to strengthen me, but something that I would enjoy eating, amen, I would love a Spam sandwich on hillbilly bread with mustard. Woo! And some iced tea. Well, I was just sitting there. I wasn't trying to look sad or anything. I was just sitting there thinking like this, everybody else eating, and a guy come over to me and said, my wife always fixes me too much for lunch. I got a sandwich I'm not going to eat if you want it. I said, well, I don't want to eat your sandwich. He said, I'm going to throw it away if you don't eat it. I said, well, if you're going to throw it away. Yeah, I didn't have to do no more thinking about it. Don't you throw that sandwich away. Amen. I grabbed that bag. I opened it up and I unwrapped it and almost cried. Spam sandwich. I opened it, it had mustard on it. I looked at that brown bread, it was on hillbilly bread. I said, Lord, it's not the sandwich. It's the fact that the God of the universe knows where I'm at, knows who I am, and knows what I'm experiencing, and He wants to bless me. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. If He so feed the fowls of the air, can't He take care of you? Just get my kingdom first and watch me work. Hallelujah. Your Father knows what you have need of. They were crying out. They thought their need was for deliverance from Rome when their real need was deliverance from sin and its consequences. Jesus was going to do something better than get them out of Roman rule. He was get them out of Satan's kingdom of darkness and break the chains. Hallelujah. Amen. Woo! Serve Him for the right reason. You won't do without. Serve Him for the right reason. He'll find a way to bless you. And one of His blessings is to make you content with what you got. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm happy with my wife. It's good to be content with what you got. I'm happy with my life. Praise the Lord. I'm happy. I gave my truck to my son because he didn't have nothing to get to work. My good old blessed S10. Wow, what a blessed truck he got. He tells me every day, he was going down the road in it, backed up, hugging his head out the window and says, boy, this thing's running smooth. Amen. I said, it's got God's blessing on it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Well, anyway, there's other stories. I don't want to tell all of them, but I always want you to know that if you put the kingdom first, you won't be like those people that have expectations of God that don't get met because they're all temporal and they're all for the immediate and they're not for the eternal necessarily. And if you'll put the eternal spiritual things on the top shelf, He'll take care of all these other things we need. He's an incredible God. He's good at it. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Sums it up best in a 90-second sermon, I guess you would call it. What is Palm Sunday? A young lady sums up what I'm preaching to you in 90 seconds, and I think it's worth listening to before we close and have communion today. I want to Hosanna for the right reason today. Let me read this while he sets that up. Let me read this to you. Hosanna, they cried. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Crowds not only, they were guilty in a sense of taking advantage of Jesus. Here comes the healer. Here comes the one that turns water to wine. Here comes the one that raises the dead. Who isn't going to Hosanna him? But when this man goes, gives himself over to his enemies, and they see him hanging on that cross, dying. They're so disappointed. And they see him in the hands of men beat half to death. They see no miracle. They know this man's not going to lead us out from under Roman rule. This man's not going to come down here and give us a financial breakthrough where we all get rich. He didn't come for that reason. Not here today for that reason. You don't see the riches you have in Christ, you'll be poor no matter how much God materially can give you. If you don't see that right now, you're poor. He told the richest church in town with the richest people going to it, you're poor, miserable, blind, and naked. He told the poorest church in town because they were being persecuted financially, not allowed to work because of trade unions that wouldn't let them because they were Christian. He said, I know your poverty, but you're rich. Isn't that incredible? That's what Jesus taught. I'm not talking about that guy on TV. I'm talking about Jesus. I don't know who you're following. I'm following Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Not everybody on TV, but you know what I'm talking about. There are hucksters on there, shysters on there, trying to get a crowd like there were on that day when he first came into Jerusalem. To hoop and holler, Lord, help us. Instead of, Lord, save us. Lord, deliver us. Lord, set us free. Not only from sin stains, but from the influence of a world system that values nothing but silver and gold and fame and fortune. This is no time to go after gold and apparel. This is a time to get ready and prepare you the way of the Lord. Jesus is coming soon. Hitler used Jesus to kill Jews. Amen? Amen. The Ku Klux Klan burned crosses and acted religious while they hated people of color. Oh yes, they went to church on Sunday. Listen to the books, and some of them may have merit, but just listen to the titles on Amazon for sale a few months ago. Jesus, CEO, book titles. Jesus, entrepreneur. Jesus, MD. Jesus, life coach. Rabbi Jesus. Jesus, the pastor. Jesus, a religious revolutionary. Jesus, the greatest therapist to ever live. The laughing Jesus. Jesus, mean and wild. Jesus in blue jeans. My best friend, Jesus. Jesus Christ, superstar. The yoga of Jesus. The politics of Jesus. Everybody using Jesus for some wrong reason. The only right reason to look to Jesus is to have your sins forgiven. The only right reason to worship Him is because He died in your place so they could be forgiven. Can you say amen? But when we get that right, the kingdom will be first, and God will take care of everything else. But until we get that right, we're just like that crowd when He came in, Hosanna one day and crucify Him the next. Go ahead and play that. 90 seconds of great truth. Thank God for young people that see it.
The first Palm Sunday. The triumphant entry of Jesus, the Messiah, during a time when His people were under the thumb of the Roman Empire.
When Jesus entered Jerusalem that day,
public opinion was favorable towards Him, to say the least. The streets were saturated with people, celebrating, shouting. He was not so excited. His people thought that He was coming to liberate them from the empire. They had an idea, a preconceived notion. They knew what they wanted Him to do, what they wanted from Him. But they were completely missing the point of the matter. He knew why He was really there. He knew He wasn't quite yet meant to arrive as the political liberator, the conqueror, but instead as the servant who would give His life for a much greater cause. As another Palm Sunday draws near, these 2 millennia later, we would do well not only to remember the events leading up to the Lord's sacrifice, but also to steel ourselves against the mistake His people made the day of His triumphant entry. Let us not be tempted to project our own agenda, our wants, our expectations, our ambitions on God. When we honestly say, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," and truly worship Him for who He is, then we will find triumph in every day.
Yeah, what a truth. Can anybody say amen to that truth? Amen. Then, let me give you a scripture as we get ready for communion just a moment here. The Bible said, "Thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph in Jesus Christ." Many translators look at that in the sense that Paul is saying, "I'm so thankful that every time there's a difference of opinion about God's will, I always defer. I allow Christ." Thank God, Christ always triumphs over me. And that is the source of my constant victory. Amen. Christ triumphing over me. Every time there's a difference in His will and mine, there's an acquiescence to His. There's a surrender to His. You'll never have peace trying to twist God's arm to get what you want. You will only find peace when you agree to unconditional surrender to His will. And when His will becomes what you want more than what you think you need, my God shall supply all of your need according to His riches and glory in Jesus Christ. If you get everything you want and you don't have the peace that comes from being surrendered to the will of God, you're not going to be happy with it, because the world has achieved that, many of them, and they're not happy with it. That's why in a recent edition of Rolling Stone, really it's a back edition, I don't read this, but I read an excerpt from Rolling Stone magazine, one of the contemporary magazines that young people read, and they have all these stars and rock artists and movie stars, and they love to interview them. They had Brad Pitt on there. And they were interviewing Brad Pitt. I mean, he's got it all. He's got youth, at least he did back then. Amen. He's got looks. He's got fame. He's got fortune. He's got Angelina Jolie. Amen. She could use a couple of cheeseburgers, looks like. But anyway, he's got her. Can you say amen? Don't you think she could use a couple of... I think she'd look better with 10 pounds, personally. Amen. But anyway, you're different strokes for different folks. Amen? Amen. All right. I didn't do that for any particular reason. I just wanted to see if you were listening. Can you say amen? And they ask him about his life and about how, you know, how wonderfully blessed he was. They didn't use the term blessed, but successful you are. You've achieved so many things that so many people would like to have. And he said, and I'm going to quote, Brad Pitt said, "People think I've got it made." He said, "Let me tell you something." He said, "I don't even know what it is." Now, that's an incredible thing for him to say. I don't know what it is. You say, well, if I had Angelina and I had that big mansion and I had people wanting my autograph and I had that physique and I had this money, I'd be happy. Well, he isn't. He isn't. I love what Billy Graham said when he said there's a God-shaped vacuum in the heart of every man and only God can fill that. Isn't it good to know what it is? Have you figured out what it is? It's the kingdom of God. It's Christ. Hallelujah. Godliness with contentment is true riches. It's great gain. If you've got the Lord, amen, and you've got a roof over your head and clothes to put on, you've got wheels to get you where you need to go and some food for your belly, don't look at somebody else. Don't join that crowd of Hosanna, fickle people that cry Hosanna as long as he's doling out everything that you want. But you have no concept of what he's really here to accomplish. There's a whole part of the church that's following after the gold and the silver right now. And they've lost a real concept of the kingdom of God. For the kingdom of God, Jesus said, is not meat and drink. It's not something you indulge for your flesh. Can you say amen? But it's righteousness, it's peace, and it's joy in the Holy Ghost. Brad Pitt don't have a right standing with God to give you that courage and consolation. Amen. He doesn't have the peace of God reigning. And money can't buy it. Can you say amen? And he don't have the joy in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. But every Christian has access to these kingdom blessings. Can you say amen? Aren't you glad you're a child of God today? Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. We read about the fickle Hosannas. Let me read to you one more scripture today in the book of Revelation. God is so gracious. Chapter 7, verse 9 through 17. By the way, they had palm fronds and they hollered Hosanna. They praised God. They waved the palm fronds. It's going to happen again. Listen to it. Did I say 11? 7. Chapter 7, 9 through 11. Okay, thank you. "And after this I beheld, lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations, kindreds, and people, and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. And cried with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation to our God that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb." And the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts and fell down before their throne, their faces, and worshiped God. Hallelujah. Saying, "Amen. Blessing, glory, and wisdom, and thanksgiving, and honor, and power, and might be unto our God forever and forever." And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, "What are these that are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they?" And I said unto them, "Sir, thou knowest." And he said unto me, "These are they which have come out of great tribulation, have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God, and serve Him day and night in His temple. And He that sitteth upon the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them or any heat, for the Lamb that is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and lead them into living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe all the tears away from their eyes." Can you say amen? Hallelujah. You and me and everybody else on this planet that has received Jesus Christ as their Savior are going to pick up palm fronds and holler Hosanna, because of what He did at the cross. Hallelujah. I'm so glad for that palm celebration that's coming when He comes to take us all home. It's going to take place in His presence. Hallelujah. Because we've washed our robes, made them white in the blood. We're celebrating the cross. We're celebrating the shed blood of Jesus Christ today. Are you ready for Holy Communion to celebrate what He really came to accomplish today? Praise Him for it. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord, and blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, love Him for what He's done for you. Thank Him for what you have right now and right where you are. Praise God, surrender to His will. Let Him take you where He wants you to be. Hallelujah. Rejoice in Him. Give Him praise, honor, and glory. Hallelujah. God will make a way for you. God will sustain you. God will support you. Hallelujah. Let's worship Him as we prepare a heart for communion. This Palm Sunday, 2012. Zechariah 9 said, "And your king shall come to you lowly, riding upon a donkey."
Behold the Lamb who bears our sins away, slain for us. And we remember the promise made that all who come in faith find forgiveness at the cross. So we share in this bread of life, and we drink of His sacrifice as the sign of our bonds of peace around the table of the King. Our Savior Jesus Christ tore for you. Eat and remember the wounds that heal, the death that brings us life, paid the price to make us one.
Today, and there's sin that you know is unconfessed, now is the time to just in your heart and whisper to the Lord, forgive me. Take away the stain. Take away the guilt. I want to be your child. I want to follow you. I want to be one of those that cry Hosanna and mean it and understand that if a prayer doesn't get answered right when I pray, if a circumstance doesn't change just when I want it, it doesn't take away at all from my trust in the one that hung between heaven and earth, suffered and died in my place. I devote, I commit my heart, my life to you. If you'll make those commitments of devotion in your heart, you will find yourself surrendered to his will. If you find yourself surrendered to his will, you'll find yourself satisfied with your circumstance. Hallelujah. Paul said, in whatever state I'm in, I've learned to find satisfaction and therewith to be content. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he praised God in everything. Today, God is looking for people like those children. Out of the mouth of babes, praise is made perfect, with sincere hearts to praise him, to serve him, and to follow him. I want to be one of those people that love him for who he is and appreciate what he's done for me at Calvary. Father, forgive us our sins. There are sins of omission, things we failed to do that we knew to do. There are sins of commission, things that we did that we knew you told us not to do. We come today for cleansing at the foot of the cross. In the name of Jesus, we bow before you today to receive forgiveness and strength to overcome. Father, capture our hearts. They're so prone to wander today. Capture our hearts and bring us close to you. That's where protection and provision is being close to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Same night he was betrayed, he took bread. When he broke it, you may break the wafer. He broke it and said, this is my body that is broken for you. Every time you eat of this bread, do this in remembrance of me on the cross. You may eat the bread. He picked up the cup. He said, this is the New Testament, the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for the sins of many. As often as you drink this cup, you show the Lord's death. You proclaim it till he comes. Christians all over the world are taking the cup. At some point in this week, and proclaiming We are saved because Jesus suffered and died at the cross. As often as you do this, remember me. You may drink the cup. Thank you, Father. Now, will you please stand with me? Let's stand together. Is there anyone here in our midst that doesn't know Jesus? Anyone here that needs to know Christ? Anybody before we go today? Is there anybody here in our midst that believes that we can get closer to Him, follow Him for the right reasons, and make sure we don't join the crowd of hand-clapping, palm-waving people that when He disappointed them by not giving them their immediate wants, they turned on the man that was suffering for their sin? They didn't get it. They didn't grasp it. How many people here want to serve Him, number one, for what He did for you at Calvary? How many understand if you serve Him for the right reason, you're not going to do without? The Heavenly Father knows what you have need of. How many are expecting your axe head to swim? That God, because you're putting Jesus first in your life and His kingdom first, and you're giving Him praise for what you do have right now, hallelujah, that He's going to bless you for that. Somehow, some way. I'm telling you, I was praying the other day, and I got the old timers used to say, got my honey bucket turned over. Can you say, man? I was just praying, and I got to thinking about God moving in everybody's life, not just mine, but in your lives, hearing testimonies of the Lord coming through. Amen. And doing these wonderful things that He does when the kingdom is first. And I thought, Lord, it's going to be so wonderful to start hearing these testimonies coming through. These tests are going to turn to testimonies. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know why? Because I feel hearts are being drawn to Him and committing to Him. And therefore, I'm expecting. I don't know where your expectation level is, but mine is very high. Now, I'm not looking for, you know, I have no rich uncle. I can't, I have no one in mind. God has done shown me He does things in ways that you would never dream, never figure out if you tried a million years. You just got to put Jesus first. You got to praise Him where you're at. Hallelujah. And you got to thank Him, amen, for caring for you. And God is going to do wonderful things. Don't miss these services coming up. Praise God. Amen. I'm telling you, my faith is reaching out to the Lord for you and for me and for my family, and I'm expecting supernatural provisions. Amen. I'm expecting things to happen right here in this little congregation. Amen. This is going to be different. Come on, it's not because the year changed, it's because God is changing us. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Things are changing. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. I want you to look at two or three people as we let this song take us home today. If you have to leave, you can go right on out. But I want you to greet at least two or three people and say, I'm expecting wonderful things.